This is the Skirted Roundtable. I'm Linda Merrill from Surroundings.
And I'm Megan Arquette from Beach Bungalow 8.
And Joni Webb with Cote de Texas.
And this week on the Skirted Roundtable, we are going to be talking a little more about a little part of our conversation last week with Vincent Wolfe. And he was talking about that his initial client meetings, initial couple or three client meetings, are actually only held in his office. And it's only after they've really gotten to know each other that he goes to the home. And that was a point that was very interesting, I think, to a lot of our readers and to us, because most of us really do go to the client's home, and that's for a lot of different reasons. So we thought we'd talk about what we ourselves do in that case, and the pros and cons of, do you meet at the client's home initially, or do you let the client come to your office?
You know, and some people don't necessarily have the funds to have an actual office someplace outside of their homes, and that can sometimes be the beauty of working for yourself, that you can work out of your home and then go to the client in this business. However, I do find sometimes, because I do have my office in my home, there have been so many times when I've thought about getting a space. I've looked at spaces because I think how nice it would be to store furniture I may have and that sort of thing, and also have a place where I could bring the client, because I think it sets an air, like Vincent was saying, it really sets an air of professionalism that, you know, I certainly can't drag them through my house and up to my office area, or I don't feel that I can. I think that I don't, you know, want them in that, going through that part of my life.
Right.
I wanted to say something about that. My office is also in my house, and I don't know if it's the level of interior designing that Vincent Wolfe does compared to what I do, but I don't feel like I need to portray this air of superior professionalism about me, about my work. I am who I am, and I'm just not that person, you know? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting thing, because I feel like you do, but there are times when I like to keep my clients. I think you tend to have a different relationship, which I'm learning from just hearing, you know, every time we sit down and we speak. I like to keep that sort of distance. I don't want them to be that big of a part of my, like, I like to be able to end my work day and come home, you know, not have them be such an integrated part of. I had a client who lived 8 houses away, and she would show up at my doorstep every morning at 8 a.m. Wanting to talk about one thing or another.
Oh, that would kill me.
I would be in my pajamas sometimes. I would have a baby on my hip and a 3-year-old grabbing at, you know, at my robe kind of thing. And I thought, oh my God, I can't do this. I would love it if I had had a place where we met and she knew that that's where we had met. I don't think she would have crossed that line. Do you know what I mean?
Well, my latest, newest client lives directly across the street from me, so I'll let y'all know how that goes. It's kind of fun, though. You know, I just have to run over there. It's very easy.
Right. See, in my case, for one thing, a lot of my clients have been in a fairly large geographic area, and then because I'm 55 minutes out of Boston, some of it is just geography. If someone wants to talk to me, or they've heard about me, but they live an hour away, it part of that is just the geography of them driving all the way to see me. And then my home office, you do have to traipse through my whole condo to get to my home office. And it is a dedicated office, but I still have my sofa bed, and it's my guest room as well. So, you know, I have desks and everything. But I also then think, oh, I'd have to clean the house. So some of it for me is a little bit of laziness and a little bit of not necessarily wanting to share that. And also, being single and self-employed, I simply don't have the budget to decorate my house in the manner that I'm capable of or want to, but I can't afford it. And so I do things in the do-it-yourself method, or I don't have them until I can afford to buy something. I do want to maintain that air of a little bit of mystery about that, even though I do put my pictures of my house on my blog and things like that, but I feel like, well, I'd be judged. You know, I want to be able to decorate the homes, the big houses, and I can do that, and I don't want someone to walk into my townhouse and say, huh, can she handle the big job?
Yeah. Well, you know, there's always suites that you can rent out, or I don't know. I usually don't have a client at my house/office for the first meeting anyway ever. I don't see how you can do that. That I think you have to be in the space to see where they live and what you're going to be doing. And but he didn't. He completely disagreed with that.
Yes, no, he did. I got the feeling, and I thought of this after the interview, is, and I could be sort of misinterpreting him, was that his view is kind of, we're going to decide if we're going to work for you. Your space, I know I can do your space. I don't care about what your space is because I'm going to do it. You know, it's all about, let's meet, let's decide if we want to work together, and you'll fill out my questionnaire to tell me your likes and dislikes, and then we'll get going. Your space
is so important. I actually loved that about, you know what, I love talking to these guys, these people. I just shouldn't say guys because men and women, these interior designers, because I love hearing their theory. Because here's the thing I loved about that is that his intention was, so often people say, I want this and I want that and I want this. And then when you give it back to them, they say, no, I didn't say any of that.
Right,
so I love that he makes people sit down, write out what they really want so that he types it back out and presents it to them. But I also think that he sets the tone right away. He sets a tone. This is a business. I'm in business. My time is valuable. Your time is valuable. Let's do this efficiently, you know? And I think that it can, I think I've noticed that is a tone that does need to be set in this situation, because you're working in someone's home. And I think that sometimes people don't understand that your time is really valuable. And that in order for this to move efficiently, everyone needs to be focused on this as a business, including the client. I see that having an environment, even if it's, I even looked at a space that was so tiny, it would have been really about a desk and two chairs, because even that would have set a tone that I think, you know, conveys the idea that this is a professional business and let's get to business and get it done correctly.
I did love his idea about the questionnaire, and I think that's something you can incorporate, and I'm going to do that, even if you don't have the separate office, which is, all right, great, we're going to set a meeting, I'm going to email you, fax you, mail you my packet, and your packet is the questionnaire that, you know, you want the client to fill out, your contract, you know, all of those things, so that you're really setting that tone. And then, because I choose not to have someone come to my home, you know, then we'll set the time to meet, and we'll go from there. And if they choose to fill out the contract before you meet or fill out the questionnaire, great. If they don't, it sort of gives you an idea of how serious they are mm-hmm. about the project. And, you know,
because it becomes a contract between the two of you.
Right. And if you send someone your questionnaire and then they fill it out and then you meet and you decide not to hire you, or you decide you don't want them to hire you, you know, they've had a nice exercise in figuring out what they like and don't like, but it hasn't cost you anything. And, you know, so I think the questionnaire is a great idea that anybody should seriously consider incorporating.
Today, for instance, I had a client that she wanted to look at fabrics. And I said, I always meet at her house, you know, and which means I have to schlep thousands of books of fabric over there. And I said, come to my house and we'll go through the fabrics. So she comes to my house and my poor little dog is deaf, you know. My dog doesn't hear herself. So when someone comes in the house, she gets all excited and she starts barking and barking, and then she wants food. It was so annoying, and this client was pregnant. And, you know, so I finally had to put the dogs in the garage. And, you know, it was just so, so uncomfortable. You know, and I was thinking, I can't even take her up to my office because it's a disaster zone, you know. So we're sitting around the breakfast table. I'm going out to the garage, pulling in samples. And in the end, we had to go over her house with all the samples we had picked to look at the rug, you know. And then I had to come back home and get more. So, there, I don't know. There's not a good give and take, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I can definitely see, Joni, having seen pictures of your house, because it's so nicely, you know, finished. I can see having a meeting there and having people, because you have such a clear style, and that presumably is mostly what people are going to you for. So, you know, I think that's great. But you're right. If you have the dogs barking, you have people interrupting, mm-hmm. it starts, you know, taking away a little by slow of that level of, you know, you're not just their girlfriend helping them pick fabrics. You're a professional who's...
But truly, Linda, in the end, with my clients, I am just usually a girlfriend helping picking fabrics. I usually end up having that relationship with my clients. Very few of my clients is it on a real professional kind of level, you know, like this client is my niece's sister-in-law and my neighbor, or even the client from the Tanglewood house. We became very, very close and good friends, and it just always seems that's the way it ends up. Does it not with y'all?
Some yes, some no. Not really social, not a whole lot of social hanging out. I've taken clients to, you know, a concert or something like that.
I'm never embarrassed about them coming over. Maybe I'm still in my pajamas or something. You know, I mean, I'm not. I do get dressed. But I don't know. I just seem to have a real relaxed atmosphere with my clients that Vincent Wolf would never have. And that's probably why he's making the big bucks and I'm not.
And it never affects any of your financial, like the contracts or what's the expectations of deliverables or any of those issues?
In what way?
Well, you know, I think the fear is, and maybe it's an irrational fear, or sometimes it actually does happen, that when you start getting to be friends with people, the friends suddenly start wanting you to do them favors because you're their friend, as opposed to respecting your time, respecting...
you know, people are usually pretty good about that. But me saying all this, I do actually have a client right now that I only met at her house. I'm not friends with her. We've barely had any kind of interaction on a personal basis at all. So I do have those.
I mean, I have a lot of those. And that's, I mean, that I have a few that I know socially first and then have done work for them. But the ones that I work for, I don't, it's not that I don't want to become friends with them. It's just that I feel like Linda does. I want them to respect that we're doing a job and, that while I am getting to know them and respecting the way they live in their home, you know, again, like my time is valuable and, you know, and I want them to understand that I know what I'm doing and I'm in charge. That's the other thing, you know, that in charge in the sense that I've got them covered. I have their back.
Right.
I'm taking care of them. You know, so I feel like if they came over and saw the sometimes chaos in my house and, you know, my 8-year-old's pigsty of a room, they might pass judgment.
Linda, you said all those nice things about my house, and yeah, maybe in the pictures it looks that way, but you know, there's a whole level of debris that doesn't end up in the picture.
Well, of course, right.
You know, I sometimes am embarrassed actually to have clients over, you know,
and that's the thing, is it's like you just don't want to put yourself in that position. But you know, I think what you said, Joni, about your client came over to your house and you went through some fabrics, but you had to go over to our house anyway. You know, ultimately, all of these items are being, that you have to see what they look like in the house.
Right.
So I think that, you know, and we didn't really talk to Vincent about, beyond those first few meetings, how does the project go? I mean, I think he really is we come up with a design. He really had a formula. We come up with the plan. We look at your questionnaire. This is how we do it. You can look at it. But if you want to ask me why this chair is square versus round, I'll tell you, but I'm telling you it's going to be square. And, you know, and then it, you know, so it's not as much give and take, it doesn't seem. It could be wrong.
I think that attracts a certain clientele. I mean, you know, there are going to be people who want to be much more interactive and don't want to be told how it's going to be done and want to have a little more say in it. And he's smart because those are not the people he wants. They're hiring him to give Vincent Wolf.
And they provide, you know, schematics and drawings and all of that stuff, which we didn't really get into. Like, he obviously charges for that part of it. And then here's your book. And your book includes your drawings and your questionnaire and all of your estimates, you know, all of the bills, all of the purchase orders. You know, hand us a check. Your project is off and running. I tend to be, and I think most of us tend to be, what do you think of this fabric? Okay, let me go find this fabric. And all right, now that we have this fabric, let's look for our secondary fabric. And it's a lot more step by step by step.
Yeah, and it's a lot more interaction.
Yeah.
I think some of that may have to do with just a male testosterone confidence that maybe we don't have.
Wait, we talked about that. Linda, did that make it onto the show?
It did in the it briefly. It just it never.
It did.
What I was thinking was, which I didn't articulate as well as I wanted to, which was, you know, that when I brought the whole issue up of men versus women, what I was trying to get out was, I think that there was that sort of men often in business just have the confidence to say, this is what's right. You know, I'm going to give you the best. You're going to love it. Just, you know, accept that. You know, this is what we're going to do. Whereas I think women tend to be, you know, more collaborative, more, what do you think? You sure you like it? Let me know.
But we're usually dealing with other women. We're generally working with other women. I've only had a couple of male clients, and they've been like, hey, whatever, do your thing. But we are dealing with women. And right. So there's that whole dynamic of women working with women and being very careful and measured with our relationship with a woman and not wanting to be too much of the boss in her home, you know, wanting to respect that we need to collaborate. There's a lot of that, a lot of psychology that goes on behind that, I think.
And I think that that's where he went, which was, you know, he thought it was easier for men because the husband will respect the guy for being, you know, business oriented. The guy can talk to the guy about business, but he can talk to the woman. He's not another woman interloping in, you know, her house, so to speak.
Just listening to his voice, this man exudes confidence. I mean, he doesn't second guess himself.
No.
And that goes along with his designs. And, you know, I do a lot more second guessing, you know, of my design process. And I don't, like we talked about once, do you walk in a room and see it immediately what you want? No, it's a process for me. And I sometimes work through that process with my clients' input. Anyway, you know, it's just curious, how do y'all meet first with a client? Let's say I'm a client and I called you and we've got an appointment. What is your first appointment like?
You know, it's meeting them at their house and talking. Usually you do a walkthrough, greet the dog, greet the kids, get run over by things, hear all the apologies of why things don't look the way they want them to. the usual stuff. And usually I have them walk me through the whole house. Because the thing I'm finding is that I can generally pick up on from what I'm looking at, if I think they'll be a good client. It's taken me a long time, but I'm beginning to be able to look at what they've already done and recognize good client, bad client, and be able to walk away if I think that they're just not going to be a good client based on the way their house already looks. And then we sort of go into what rooms they're interested in having me do, because usually it's not the whole house. It's one or two major rooms and then maybe pieces and parts down the road kind of thing. And
how long does your first appointment usually last?
If I'm doing really well, 45 minutes.
Okay.
If I think that it's, you know, 45 minutes to really walk around and talk about it, and then either I'm going to go home and write them a proposal, or I get them to the point where we're going to say, okay, it's 45 minutes of talking. Now let me go around and take pictures and measurements. I measure the rooms, and that might take another, you know, half an hour. And then, you know, we're talking, and then I sort of go home and start thinking about it. Mm-hmm. And it can sometimes take me, I really have to kind of think about a room for a few weeks before I can really dive into it.
Mm-hmm. I work about the exact same way as Linda, almost exactly. I don't think anything differently. I do like to, if someone has an entire house, I do like to talk to them about prioritizing room, you know, which room should we tackle first? Because I don't like to have several different rooms going at once. I'd rather really focus on what we need to do, and I feel like it helps them focus on what they need. So I like to approach that for sure. And like you said, it's really good to go into their house and see how they live. You really get a good sense of what sort of fabrics are really suitable for this home, how they're living in it. Do they have a lot of animals that are running everywhere and up on furniture, and kids that seem to be pretty loose and, you know, able to run all over the house? Or are these people very careful and particular about how they treat their things? So I pretty much do it the exact same way. Measurement, everything, take the photographs, that sort of thing. And I do ask them to give me a few weeks before I get back with them on it.
And when you go back, do you have a full-blown proposal?
No, I don't.
I don't.
I mean, by the time, I mean, I by that point, I don't need the proposal. You know, it's more if they want a proposal, then, you know, I'll go around and take pictures, but I won't measure because measuring takes so long. If not handing me a check that day to get going, then I don't bother to measure. I take pictures to remind me what I want to talk about, and I'll send them an email, you know, written proposal and my contract. to sort of
so
say
for this. Like the second meeting, you don't come back with a floor plan and fabrics and furniture to show
not
them?
Not unless they've given me some money. Because if I've spent that much time and it takes so much, that takes many hours to create all of that. To right. think, you know, for to design concept, to concept the design, to do the drawings. I hand draft because the first design group I worked with pretty much made me feel that that was such a great dying art that I stuck with it and I love to do it. So anyway, I hand draw things. And just the time it takes to gather everything. So I won't do anything until I've been paid for a certain amount of hours. So there's, you know, I explain to them how my contract works before I go into all of that.
But I will, but assuming, you know, we have a contract and I've received the, you know, upfront payment for a certain number of hours, generally, I give my clients a page on my website, and so I do a lot of stuff. I create a floor plan, which is not hand-drawn, it's electronic, and the floor plan goes on their webpage. And so I do a lot, assuming this is a client who's on the computer a lot, you know, I start putting things there to say, what do you think of this, what do you think of that?
So I do that.
Yeah, so I start feeding them things as we go, and then the next meeting, the first meeting where we're really looking at stuff, it'll be the fabrics and the paint swatches and pictures of things. And, you know, I've started the website part starts culling it down so that when we yeah. meet, I'm bringing them a real targeted, what do you think of this, take a look at that kind of thing. And it really, you know, targets the time and the conversation.
The thing I think I might do differently than y'all, and I'm just going on this because I just met, like I said, I got a new client, and the first time I went to her house, you know, I met with her, we just looked around, she told me what she needed, it was pretty much her whole downstairs, and I came back to my house, she lives across the street, so I came back to my house, and I picked out two large design books, house, beautiful, like 750 design ideas, you know, things with a lot of different pictures of different styles. And I said, I want you to go through this and mark what appeals to you. Not to figure out why it appeals to you, or does this look like my house and maybe this could fit in my house. Just tell me what actually just moves you.
Yeah.
And just mark everything that moves you, not if it's going to fit or the color, you know. And then I will take, so the second meeting, I went back to get the book and look over all the pages. And then you can quickly kind of get a feel for really what your client likes.
Yeah.
Or what she, you know, because it all kind of starts to look alike, you know.
I agree with you. That's a great idea with a book. I usually ask people if they, and often they have, but I like often ask people, do you have a file? Have you been pulling things? Or have you seen anything that you love? Because that's such a good way of finding
yeah,
out.
Yeah, it really is.
I think it's, you know, it's a visual version of Vincent's questionnaire in that,
yeah.
you know, I did that with someone. She had a woman who ended up not hiring me, but she had this enormous, enormous book of clippings. It was unbelievable. And so we were thumbing through it, and I said, well, I see you really like painted cabinets, kitchen cabinets. Well, no.
Yes, she did.
And, you know, every single one, and she couldn't remember like that. You know, it was that sort of just that mental thing of I like it, and don't even think about why you like it, just mark it. And she'd look at things, I don't know why I marked that. I can't remember
yeah.
now. But, you know, predominantly, you know, the kitchen cabinets she was marking were all painted, but when I said, so you like painted cabinets, no.
Does she know what that meant? Because sometimes people balk and they go, painted? You know, people don't understand, you know.
Yeah, like, I mean, I showed her the picture. I said, well, like these, you marked all these. Oh, well, I don't know. So, you know, it was a really interesting thing of...
But then do you spend a lot of time trying to chase the riddle of what does this client like? Or do you just have the confidence
well,
to say, I know kind of what you're after, and let me just bring a whole design concept to you. And I feel like if you see it in its entirety and this sort of idea that I'm going to bring to you, I think you'll like it. You know what I mean? Like some people don't know what they think they see it.
What I happened to do with this client was I went home after this was our second meeting. First I brought her the book, and then the next time I went over and picked up the book. And I went home and I put together pictures of things that I pulled from websites that I like. I put together pictures of, you know, dining room chairs, dining room tables, four or five different choices, four or five different chairs, four or five different bar stools, end tables, sofas, and I emailed it all to her. And she printed it out and X'd out what she liked and she didn't like. You know, so for our next meeting, I had a very clear understanding of, you know, which way we were going, and she was ready to order the furniture from that.
Well, that makes it really easy. I mean, I think that's
It's going to be real easy. Yeah.
Well, the thing is,
you know what? I think it's like, it's nice to give them a choice that they can see on their email, and then when you're meeting with them, you've kind of already gone over all that, and then you just kind of make a decision from there, and then I don't have to do the whole big presentation. It's already kind of done.
I think that's so smart because it's actually saving them money.
Right. It does save them money. You know, regardless of how your billing is, or if it's particularly if you're billing by the hour, which we don't all do, but that's part of the reason why I started doing it that way, because as one person, it gave me a chance to maybe juggle more jobs because I'm not spending as much time on any one job. In travel time, the hour drive back and forth from the client's house and all of that sort of stuff, and it just speeds up that. It costs them less by the hour, and I get to actually handle more jobs simultaneously.
Linda, would you charge them during the time that you are picking up furniture and emailing it?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that takes me a long time, though. I mean...
Oh, it does take a long time. Yeah.
It takes a really long time, and I don't know that the client always understands that it's... And I think if they understand that it does take that long, then they value... Instead of going, no, what next? What else do you have? You know what I mean? They'll go, oh, okay, this actually took someone a long time, and I'm paying for that time, and so let me look at this a little closer, because they obviously spent time looking for it.
I have someone in my family, she's an architect interior designer. She's very brilliant and very busy. And she once told me that every minute at work, someone is paying her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really foreign to me, y'all. Yeah. I don't work that way. I was like, every minute someone is paying me because I'm working.
I think that if you have to maintain that, you may not achieve it, but you have to maintain that thought that every minute you work, you should be being paid for somehow. This has been the Skirted Roundtable with Joni Webb from Cote de Texas, Megan Arquette from Beach Bungalow 8, and I'm Linda Merrill from Surroundings. You can visit us online at www.skirtedroundtable.blogspot.com. Or download our podcasts from iTunes, search for The Skirted Roundtable. Thanks so much, and we'll be back soon.